from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Batter Up, 92.9 The Game's weekly Atlanta Braves podcast. I'm Braves insider Joe Patrick here with 92.9 The Game's Knox Bardeen. Knox, what is rattling around your brain right now in your Braves-centric mind right now?
Hey, the MLB draft is high up there. The Braves had a night off yesterday, so we got to focus solely on that.
The MLB draft, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it's not as sexy as the NFL draft. It's not as sexy as the upcoming NBA draft we have here in a few weeks. And that all has to do with the immediacy of how quickly these players
right.
get to the show. But we all paid attention to that, and we're all really paying attention to some of the things on the field for the Braves. I know we'll get to this later. Dansby Swanson,
yep.
Some of the pitching. So
we probably should cover the draft here real quick before everybody hates us for not covering every single side of Atlanta Braves right now. So let's talk about it. Braves drafted a catcher with their first pick, 9th overall pick in the draft. Seems like a good guy. He's mainly a defensive player right now. Hopefully the bat will develop, but looks like he will be a fast track to the Major League Baseball just because he's already got the defensive ability.
And what I found even more interesting than the players that were drafted by the Braves yesterday is the fact that it was a huge jump in the way that the team has drafted recently. Usually, and over the last 4 or 5 years, it's been pitcher, young, youth. And they went with a catcher. Then they went with a shortstop. Then they went with another shortstop. And what they said afterwards was, hey, we don't draft based on team need.
Right.
You hear that in football all the time.
Right.
The Braves don't draft for team need either. They looked at the draft and said, whoa, all the talent is in the position players at the college level. So that's where they went. Now, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they had maybe you could say they've almost completely stocked up their pitching cupboards in minor leagues, but they didn't need to. But you saw them go with a catcher that could be the catcher of the future. I know Wilson Contreras might have something to say about that, but it was an interesting pick.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at draft picks, yeah, they could play anywhere. Pretty much other than catchers are going to be catchers. Pitchers are obviously going to be pitchers. And then everybody else is kind of everybody else. You know, like you could find some of these guys playing totally different positions. I know the shortstop that they drafted with the second pick, their second pick, Braden Shoemake. I know I've seen teams that had him projected to be a second baseman, not even a shortstop. So, you know, who knows where he's going to play. And the Braves kind of admitted he's just very much a prospect. They're kind of excited by his body frame. He's 6'4 and kind of lanky. They think he might be able to add some power. And if he does that, you know, who knows what position he'll be playing.
Well, and that's true of shortstops throughout the draft. Even
right.
up higher away from the Braves, the sixth pick to the Padres, the local Blessed Trinity kid, he played shortstop, was the Gatorade shortstop of the year in Georgia. And there's talk of him be moved out to center field. Now, he said last night he wasn't too keen on that, but that's kind of the way they look at things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Blessed Trinity is my alma mater.
Is it really?
It is. That's where I went to high school. As did Tyler Flowers.
Yes. There's a lot of good baseball talent going
out of there. It's crazy, yeah. It's like a nationally ranked team. It's insane what they've done there. Lots of good players coming out of Blessed Trinity, but also lots of good players coming to the Braves. So I'm looking forward to see these guys. I do love the second pick, Braden Shoemake. Just a great name. Sounds like a cobbler or something. You know, it reminds me of like industrial era baseball, Shoemake. You know, like they go out in the street alley and whack a ball with a, you know, play stickball and stuff. That's what the weird stuff that goes on inside my brain. But let's get away from the draft. I think we've kind of talked about it enough. These guys are this is the last we'll hear from these guys in, for a couple years now.
I would just like we said as we were setting this podcast up. It was 2015 when Austin Riley was drafted, when Mike Soroka was drafted. They're just now making a huge impact on this team, but they're just now making that impact.
So. Yeah. I do. I like to talk about prospects, but I like to talk about them once they're a little more seasoned. We know a little bit more about them, like a Christian Pache or Drew Waters. These guys, yeah, these are really exciting prospects to talk about. But that we'll save that again for another show because I want to talk about something that kind of goes contrary to a lot of the talk that's been going on around the Braves recently, and that is kind of this huge shift that's happened with, especially in terms of the offense. So. I think it's been, you know, well documented that, you know, the team has performed much better since Ronald Acuña was moved into the leadoff role in the batting order. That happened around mid-May. I think it was right before Austin Riley came up. So that kind of coincides with a lot of the success that the Braves had after that move was made. But I think that something that that's happened, which we've talked to Brian Snicker about, is that he's admitted that this team has really been carried by the starting pitching. It hasn't necessarily been the batting order that's been, you know, helping the Braves to all these wins, although they didn't win that much in the past week. But what's really gotten them kind of into this two-horse race in the NL East has been the starting pitching. You know, although it does kind of align with Acuña being moved to the top of the order, I'm not sure that it's really paid that many huge dividends in and of itself, just that one move. I think Acuña has actually kind of slumped here recently.
And I don't think that has so much to do with him moving up to first, I think there's more and more video on Acuña. There's more and more times through the big leagues, and they've adjusted to him. Now, he's going to turn around, and we know he's a heck of an athlete, heck of a hitter. He'll adjust to them, and he'll pop back up. But I don't think that the slump has anything to do with the move up because he got pretty hot for the week as soon as they did it.
Yeah, so. He did. He hit a few homers.
So that's my theory there. But I love the notion that you're taking with how the pitching is carrying this team right now. You take a look at Soroka, who just on June the 1st had his first not start with only 0-1. It was, what, 3 earned runs?
Yeah.
It's the first time he'd done it all season. That's
send him down. Send him back down.
Exactly.
Get on the shuttle. Get on the Gwinnett shuttle.
And he's still a sub-1.5 ERA. So yeah. He's been absolutely on fire. And I can't say enough. And let me pat myself on the back here because I've always been the guy that's been pro Julio Teheran, or maybe more pro than most people. I thought he was getting the bum rap with everyone trying to chase him out of town prior to this season, parts of last season. I know he's not the guy he was, you know, back in 14 or 16. I think those two all-star years for him. But his last six starts, a sub-1 ERA. Hitters are 142 against him, and that's such a huge jump between his first seven starts where he had an ERA above 5. So he's obviously figured something out over his last six starts. He obviously has confidence.
And I go back to the change that he made this spring in terms of not going from the windup anymore and only pitching from the stretch. That was something that he thought would help him with his consistency. And Kevin Seitzer, the pitching coach, and Kevin Gausman, was the one who really introduced him to it. Those two guys introduced the idea of not pitching out of the windup. And I think that we're starting to see exactly why something like that can help, because he's been a much more consistent pitcher this year than he's been in previous years. You know, kind of the rap on Teheran was always, you never know what you're going to get from him, right? Like, he could go out there and give up 8 runs in 2 innings, or he could go out and, you know, pitch 6 innings and give up 1 run or something, you know, pitch a gem. You just never quite knew. So I think that maybe that change, whether it's even all physical, it's probably maybe it's some mental, but I think that something has happened, obviously, that's kind of helped him nail down some consistency. Because right now, you have a lot of confidence. You know what you're going to get out of him. You know, I don't think that he's a great starting pitcher. Yeah, he's good. And, you know, his earned run numbers have borne that out. But I think that, you know, he still walks a lot of guys. He still picks around the plate.
Anyone.
Yeah, he's
still
not
going 90, 91, right. Sometimes dipping below that. So it's not like he's got filthy stuff. Like, you look at, you know, the rest of this Braves rotation, or at least most of it with the young guns, there's filthy stuff there in some way, shape, or form. Tehran has none of that.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be mean there.
No, but that's where kind of his veteran experience kind of takes over. I think he knows how to get out of those situations or how to manage certain situations. He's talked to us after games where he has learned to understand when he can kind of pitch around the edges, pitch very fine around the edge of the strike zone, and it's okay to walk a guy in his mind. And he knows guys that he's got to make sure they're making contact. And I think that, you know, with a veteran pitcher like him, you can kind of give him that leeway. As to where with some of the younger guys, you know, you get concerned when they start, you know, walking guys, that kind of thing. Obviously, we saw that a ton of that earlier this year. So
maybe some of that has to do with the fact that there is a Gwinnett shuttle going back and forth.
Yeah.
These guys realize that if they don't hammer it down quickly, often, there's a chance that someone down in Gwinnett can come up and try.
Well, I think that segues us in nicely to our next talking point, which is Dansby Swanson. The reason I say that it's good segue is because Dansby was kind of a guy who had some pressure on him coming into this year. That's
an understatement, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, you know, you talk about the Gwinnett show, like a guy like Johan Camargo, who, you know, is a young player, kind of breathing down Dansby's neck coming into the season. I think a lot of people thought that there was a really good chance that you could see Johan Camargo take over as the everyday shortstop, or if Dansby didn't perform and Camargo came in and performed like he did last year. Of course, both of those things have proven
they're
diverging for sure. Camargo is really struggling. He looks really off balance and at the plate, and it's not good right now. But for Dansby, it's the complete opposite. Let's listen to first of all to what Freddie's been talking about with him and the improvements he's seen with him at the plate.
Yeah, it's been huge. It's been awesome to see. It's a whole new person. When you got confidence in your health, that's all you need. As long as you're healthy, a lot of us believe our results are going to be there. And what he's done since he's moved to the two hole has been huge. Getting big hits. Great at bats, grinding at bats. You know, anybody could gun up and try to hit a home run in the eighth inning, but work the walk, get on base, and those are the little things that help us win.
It's crazy. I mean, Dansby's already at 12 homers this year. I think he only had 14 all of last year, so he's almost at his total. And what's more impressive about it to me is that he's hitting these homers all over the place. He's not just pulling it out to left field. In fact, right. He's hitting a ton of homers out to right center over that, you know, one of the deepest part of the ballpark, so over the tall brick wall at the 375 mark. So it's really impressive to see what he's done at the plate.
And we made a really big deal out of that the first week. I think his first home run was an oppo shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's the first time I've ever hit an oppo shot.
Yeah.
So everyone was making a huge deal out of that. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, let's see two or three of those oppo shots before we start talking about he can spray the field. Well, now we've seen it, right? Now he definitely has legit spray chart power from left to right. And I think it's definitely altering the way pitchers are able to pitch against him, because they no longer can try to live on that outside part of the plate.
So yeah.
They have to bring it inside and try to challenge him that way.
Exactly. I think that's part of it. You know, Dansby's talked about how he's always struggled with that slider off the outside corner, and now he's worked with Chipper Jones to allow the ball to travel in a little deeper, and what that's doing is allowing him to basically read that pitch better and stay off of it. So he's swinging at better pitches. That's huge for him. And he's getting less and less of those outside off the plate sliders because he's not swinging at them. So he's getting better pitches to hit. And he's obviously made some mechanical tweaks too. We've talked about it, but if you haven't seen it, Chipper Jones, Dave O'Brien did a great article, talking about the work that Chipper Jones has done with Dansby Swanson, moving his hands down a little bit in his batting stance, just allowing him to be more of a swinger that has more power to opposite field. Chipper in the piece said he could be a hitter like Derek Jeter, that kind of, you know, opposite field power that he always had. So it's really interesting to see kind of the developments he's making.
And I'm just sitting here looking, what you just said sparked an idea. I wanted to look at, since he was chasing sliders outside the zone, especially on the outside corner, I wanted to look at how his pitch selection was. And his swinging at pitches outside the zone has dropped from 36% last year to 27%. So he's not chasing that silly stuff outside.
Yeah,
He's waiting for his pitch, and he's obviously destroying a lot of them because his home run totals are through the roof right now.
Yeah, and it is funny. When he hit his 12th, everyone in the clubhouse was asking him after the game about it, and it was pretty funny. He just said he does not care about home runs. That's not what he's about.
It's a great soundbite, but come on.
I know, yeah. I don't believe him for a second. But, you know, he talked about, you know, doing all kinds of things. you know, his focusing on his play in the field, his base running, that kind of thing. Let's listen to Walt Weiss. So Walt Weiss was actually managing for the Braves on Sunday. Brian Snicker was out sick. Listen to what Walt Weiss had to say about the way that Dansby's improving in his overall game.
No, he's turned into a complete player. Like I said, a very athletic, dynamic defensively. Runs the bases extremely well, one of our best base runners, and the offense is really coming.
Pretty high praise, I think, coming from, first of all, a former shortstop himself, a very good defensive shortstop himself, Walt Weiss. Just to hear him talk about him being a dynamic shortstop defensively, all the things he brings you on the table. You know, he talks about his base running being one of his strongest assets, and that's what scored the winning run for the Braves in the game against the Tigers on Sunday, was his ability to score from first on a Freddie Freeman double down the right field line. So Dansby's all of a sudden, he's looking like he was at the beginning of the season, what, 2 months ago, he was a guy that people were thinking might lose his job, to now he's near, he's not going to make the All-Star team, but he's nearing that kind of potential.
And people, it happened here a couple of times at the radio station on the air yesterday. I've seen it happen on Twitter a million times, and a couple of other Braves guys that have laughed at it or whatever. But at least you can make this statement now, and you couldn't make it ever in his career. But his numbers, and I'm using bad for radio air quotes here, his numbers suggest that he's on pace for a 3,100 season.
Right, right.
And while that's laughable because he's never even come close to ever doing stuff like that, the pace numbers show that. So I don't think anyone who's sane thinks that that's going to happen, because there's going to be ebbs and flows to what he does. But he's shown us over, it's not really a small sample size anymore, it's 50 some odd games, right?
Yeah.
That he can be on this kind of pace. Now, if he finishes that way, boy, do the Braves have something special. But let's just say he gets to 20 and 75. Well, heck, that's a huge jump from his career highs anywhere else. So I think what he's doing right now at the plate, and we talked about using both fields. We talked about his approach to, you know, the pitch selection. We also, you know, his fly ball rate hasn't changed a bit since last year, 37.5%. What's changed is he's got, what, a 10% uptick in line drives and a 10%, you know, downward tick in ground balls. So he's hitting the ball properly, and that goes back to his offseason adjustments too.
Yeah, and big hits too. Hits that drive in runs. Freddie Freeman talked about this. Freddie Freeman said he's not as concerned about the home run numbers with Dansby either as he is concerned about the amount of RBIs he's getting, you know, the amount of runs he's driving in. Because
leads the team in RBI, right?
Yeah, I believe he does. He's got 41 so far in the season. His previous career high is 59 and 51 are in the last 2 years. So he's going to crush those marks. Just really good to see. And, you know, it's so, again, I just can't stop but keep going back to where we were at the beginning of the season with him. He was batting, I think, eighth. You know, just nope. Please don't put any pressure on him. You know, just leave him be. And that now he's a main component of the Braves lineup, hitting second,
right?
Yeah, so he's totally totally reversed his fortunes.
Yeah, 41 RBI leads the team. You got Freddie Freeman at 35 behind him, and Acuna at 34.
We probably should talk about the way that this does impact Johan Camargo, because he hasn't been a player that Braves fans, us at the station, have kind of talked about. Obviously, there was big plans for him to come in as this super utility, et cetera, et cetera. We've heard all the descriptors. And now I just don't know what the Braves might do with him. I think he's probably a tradable asset for them at this point, I would think.
He has to be. And I think it goes back to the conversation from episode 2 of our podcast, is what do the Braves do when Ender and Ciarte is ready to come back? Because he's now started working out and starting to get ready. I think, especially with The Braves, how do I want to say this? Because I definitely don't, you know, Ronald Acuna has been everything the Braves have hoped for, and its fans have hoped for and more. But this team would probably fare better with Ender and Ciarte in center field. And I know there's a lot of other problems with that. You know, where do you put Acuna? Where do you put Riley? I think if the Braves had the option of activating Ender and Ciarte and having him as a defensive fill-in role, that definitely puts Camargo somewhere else.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and you just, the numbers, I've seen people kind of complaining that Camargo hasn't kind of gotten a fair shot this season based on the role he had.
Yeah.
But I don't, and that's totally fair going into the season. You know, if you felt like he should have had more of an opportunity to prove himself. But at this point, you don't want to be putting him in there. No. You don't want to let him try to you know, recover his form at the detriment of the team.
Especially
you don't want to.
With
he's
what Josh Donaldson has been doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he's got a negative .4 WAR. He's OPSing under 600. I mean, it's been really terrible.
Everything you just said is absolutely right. He probably didn't get a fair shake.
Yeah, for sure.
His numbers and what he did for last year probably should have lent to him getting more of a shake. However, when Josh Donaldson was signed, for the amount of money he signed for, he wasn't going to play third base. And then he didn't get regular at-bats to start the season. And all these dominoes that have just fallen, I guess they caught up with him. And he's just found himself unable to repeat what he did last year. And that he's not going to make the Braves put him in the lineup doing that.
The good news is that I think he does retain some of his value based on what he's done at the major league level in the past, you know, last year. I think that does still hold weight for teams. I don't think he's going to be the main centerpiece in a trade, but I think he's a good kind of side option to get. Or he could be the main centerpiece in a trade if you're looking to add like a solid bullpen arm. You know, someone might want to make that deal. Not a closer, but you know, right. just a bullpen arm. I do still think, fortunately, he carries some value. Unlike Ender, who I feel. Doesn't have as much value because he's on a big contract. He's coming off injury issues with a, you know, back can be chronic, hard to diagnose. So these are all things that, you know, the Braves will deal with, potentially trading these guys over the next, you know, couple months here before the trade deadline. So that's going to do it for this week's show. Please continue to check us out on radio.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. If iTunes even still exists, I don't think it does. I think they're doing away with it. So subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, on Stitcher. Give us ratings wherever you do that. And you can follow us each on Twitter. I'm at JAPatrick200. Knox is at KnoxBardeen. Pretty simple. It's his name. I should get a better Twitter handle. And you can just follow the station at 929 The Game. So with all that out of the way, we will see you all next week on Batter Up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.